Welcome everybody. After a short summer break, we are back with our panel talks and our masterclasses, and we're starting today with a panel talk regarding the Euro Championships that are taking place in Mönchengladbach at the moment. The idea is to have four coaches here on board talking about it so that I can shut up as much as possible. As you can see, we only have three at the moment. That is because our English coach, Barry Middleton, is enjoying London traffic and is stuck in traffic on his way to the club, where he's due to give training after this this panel talk. So we're hoping that he can still join us when we're still live here. Otherwise, we're very happy to have on board with us here Jesse Mailloux. Jesse is the coach, head coach for Pinoké in the Dutch hoofdklasse, but also for a number of years already now, the under 21 coach for the Netherlands. The other one there is Rein van Eyck, also a Dutchie from origin, because we have a lot of Dutchies in the call here today. But the head coach for the under 21s in Germany. Probably the biggest favorite for the Junior World Cup in the end of this year. He doesn't like that. That's good. That's good. We'll talk about that one later on. And
I agree.
Yeah. And the one below here is Jeroen Baert. As you can see, a familiar name for me. Yes, this is my oldest son, and he is head coach for Oranje Rood in the Dutch hoofdklasse, where, as you can see, he is at his club at the moment. But there's also the under 21 coach for Belgium. Guys, have you enjoyed the European Championship so far? Yes, sir. Talk to me.
Well, yes, I have been enjoying it. I haven't watched everything, but the Dutch matches I did. I just watched the Dutch ladies against England, and I think they're doing well. Where they also, their coach is asking for a little bit more challenge, which I can imagine if you win the semi-finals with that score, 7-0 it was, I think.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the interesting for me, the standout game was England Spain. Shoot, what a game! It was very, very enjoyable to watch.
And the only one I missed. The only one I missed.
Okay. Well, there's 6 minutes that you need to watch back, and then you're just done. But great hockey in there, and enjoyable to watch. I think you can still also see that teams are trying to build. Maybe had a tough long season, so we haven't been seeing many new things, I think, yet. But hopefully now from the semi-finals on, the fireworks will really come.
Yeah. Rein, your thoughts on the European Championship so far?
We've been lucky enough to visit the venue a couple of times with the entire team. Uh-huh. It's very enjoyable. I think it's a great tournament, and the atmosphere really shows how the sport's growing in this part of Europe. Because we played with under 21s, we haven't been able to watch all the games, but we've seen at least all the German games, plus one or two games from the other group, where Belgium is doing very well. I think it's very interesting to see how everyone's dealing with momentum and form. Looking back at the Pro League, how some things have changed, how the Belgians have picked up after the finals. It's very interesting how the team is developing, and I would definitely agree with Jesse that we haven't seen that much new stuff, but it's some interesting developments to say the least.
Yeah. Jeroen, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Jesse. I really enjoyed the game England-Spain as well. That third quarter was phenomenal, just going up and down, and that's what we probably love to see as neutral coaches, maybe not as much as coaches himself of that game. I think I see a big difference with the Pro League. Maybe not the firework and the changes that we would expect already, but for sure they will come now in the semis. The four countries that are playing it, they know each other very well. They all went through a certain process. If it was really getting the core group to a certain level, like, for example, England, but also renewing their team, like Holland or maybe even Belgium, with a few new names as well in important positions. So I'm really curious to see what's going to happen in the next few days.
Yeah. Let me come back to what you already mentioned there. I saw the article and the Dutch website of hockey.nl where Paul van As is saying that he for his Dutch women, he needs to have a little bit more of a challenge. He needs teams that are up to his level or at least can challenge his women, and he feels that nobody so far is doing this. Obviously, if you win 6-0 or 7-0 in the semifinals, you've got a point. So we can't say anything about that. But what are your thoughts about a coach who is saying specific things about an opponent? Don't you just motivate them?
Is that
his intention?
That really very Dutch.
Yes.
You know what I like about him is that he talks with a lot of bravura and with a lot of confidence. And I think, that is very Dutch in his, if you look at him at his position, then I think we can all agree that the Dutch ladies are miles ahead of the rest of the world. Actually, at the moment, maybe the real competition is Argentina and Australia, but they're also not there yet.
Yeah.
Belgium tries to hang on, but if you look at this tournament and the Pro League, they're really not there yet. So he's actually quite fair. So as a coach, then you're looking at competition within your own group. And so the game against Spain, where they said they wanted to score 5 goals, and then in hindsight weren't even satisfied while they still won their first game 5-1. Mm-hmm. I think that is, as a coach, what you should do then, challenge your players with other things than saying, okay, we just want to win the European Championships again for I don't know how many times in a row.
So
I think your approach becomes a little bit different. And Paul is Paul van As, so that's nice for us to listen to, I think.
Yeah, we all know him. Rein, what has been the most remarkable thing that you've seen during this tournament so far? What struck you? We all said there's nothing much new tactically, but what have you seen that has been remarkable for you?
Looking at the men's game, I found there were a couple of surprising results that really influenced the way that certain games went. The Germans starting off with a draw against Wales was quite a surprise, I think. And it's very interesting how many countries are conceding multiple goals at briefly after each other, whether it's the English in the third quarter against Belgium, whether it's the Spain against England game, the first quarter is the Dutch against the Germans, or the Germans drawing in the end against Wales. It's very interesting to see how the teams are not able to hold on to momentum for that long, and that they seem to be conceding multiple goals shortly after each other throughout all the teams. That's something that stands out to me. And for the women's tournament, I think the Dutch are head and shoulders above the rest, but the Germans not having conceded a single goal so far could be something interesting. And with the Belgians coming up, it's very good to motivate your players and also good to motivate your opponents. So I'm very interested to see what happens tonight, but also on Saturday.
No, exactly. Jeroen, what was your remarkable moment from this tournament?
I think I have to agree with Rein that just the unpredictable and the losing of momentum is something that normally doesn't really happen like that, especially with the top nations. That's also, I think, still again to do with lots of youngsters coming in and playing. But I also love to see, in general, the youngsters doing really well, I think, for Germany or for Holland. Even England and Belgium, I think it's just really cool to see that these boys are making the steps to compete and compete at the highest level. I think we're all doing a pretty good job and are very keen on on, of course, performing at our Junior Euros and Junior World Cups. But I think we also, always have, especially for me, leading vision of trying to get these players through and through with quality and level. And I love just to see how that is happening with Belgium, but also with the other nations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. What stood out for you so far in this tournament?
Well, I think what was interesting is that England are playing with not as good as a corner as most of the other top teams. And mm-hmm. what I find interesting is the variations they find and very successfully against Spain in crucial moments. So I think that's nice to see. So that those set pieces are dangerous not only with direct shots but with variations. And I think Spain was interesting because they also have quite a lot of young players that played the European Championships under 21 last year. So they've are building them in, but I think they must also be quite disappointed with where they are at the moment. Playing some good matches in the Pro League, but not really performing yet here. But maybe they need another year. But for me, that was a little bit disappointing, I think. And I agree with all the youngsters coming through. Germany has Dannenberg, the goalkeeper, who's outstanding, who might even play the under-21 World Cup. And then Ludwig's come through, who's now really solid in that team, who played under-21 last year. So I think that's really great to see, also for the Dutch. We had three players that played the European Championships last year with the U21 and now performing. Delgekamp is one of them, but Middendorp and Van Bottom, Middendorp is there. And so I think, it's good that the youngsters are coming through, but also that coaches make those decisions, because in the end, that's also, you have to dare to bring young players in. And I think that's good to see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jeroen, which of the young talents stood out for you, if you can't name your own young talents? So
I think I'm really a big fan of Henrich from Germany. He's a bit older, so he's from a generation a bit further away than last tournaments that we played. But if you see him making play, looking for the accelerations, I'm a big fan of his kind of play. Maybe he's a bit different than a typical German hockey player, and that maybe also makes him stand out. But that's somebody that really love to see playing. I think Middendorp is struggling a bit at the moment, but I think he's a really good player for the future for Holland, and Telgekamp for sure, scoring already these kind of goals with the attitude that he's showing. You have to love him or you probably hate him, but it makes it very very nice to watch, especially as a neutral spectator or outstander. Spain, I really like a few players that's in Spain that are coming, and indeed what Jesse is saying, I think they're just not there yet. They're a bit inconsistent in their performance, but they're super close, and I think Max is doing a pretty good job on giving these boys also the chance of performing at this level. It's always a bit of a risk as well, and I think it's a team that we're going to have to take into account for the next few years as well. So cool to see.
Yeah. Just got a message here from Barry Middleton. He is on his way, 28 minutes still. You can't beat London traffic. You can't beat London traffic. Rijn, same question more or less for you. Who of the young talents stood out at this tournament, if you can't name any of the Germans?
I would definitely agree with Jeroen about the Spanish players. If you look at guys like Villalonga or La Calha, they're perform with also how they're being allowed to play completely free. They're definitely playing under the wings of their more experienced players, so it's very interesting to see the steps that they'll be making. Yes, that they're not there yet. I do see that as well. I'm also asking the question to myself, will players be able to make the step if they don't experience success at a certain way? I think with the Belgians, I'm very impressed with Van Dressel and Onana. They're really nice players. And with And if you're looking at the Hinrich generation, I think it's incredibly impressive to see the steps that Zach Wallace has made for England, like just stepping up over there and just being world class. It's just a joy to watch. So you feel, it feels like a shift of generation. And yeah, I'm one of the players that definitely loves to see Duco Telgenkamp play the way he plays. It's something else.
I think we also mustn't forget. That. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I thought you were finished.
Yeah. Oh, it's very impressive to play that freely and to be able to to maintain that composure at that stage, because people are watching, are looking at him, and he's been an extra focus. So,
Can I be critical of Duco Telgenkamp? I love him as well. Let me put that out there for sure. He's done amazing in the Pro League games in Eindhoven and now again in the beginning of the European Championships. But in the one game, and then yes, maybe you can, as the coach who knows him best, counter me in this. But in the one game where he has real opposition against the Germans, it's not that he played a bad game, but he could not deliver what he wants to deliver and says he will always deliver. Also, obviously, because of the team playing bad around him. But, yeah.
I think it's interesting. That game is interesting in itself. I think you could talk about it for 2 hours. Because if you look at the statistics of it, I think the Dutch have 28 circle entries and the German have 6 or 8 or something. And but the system the Germans play is difficult for the Dutch. I was on the couch here to my girlfriend. I said, for most of those players, it must feel like they're playing against Peter Kay, because they're also playing zonal in the circle.
Fucking
so they
shit.
Get into the circle, but it was difficult for them to get dangerous. And for Duco, I think in that age, with that experience, played a hell of a season for Kampong, scored 25 goals, most of them in the first half of the season. In the playoffs, also a little bit invisible. Mm-hmm. But in the Pro League, obviously scored how many goals in how many games. But I think what stands out for me about him is that he knows what he wants and he's not scared to tell you. Which is also not Dutch, because a lot of people, Jeroen already is Belgian, but says you love him or you hate him. And I think it's atypical for what we used to, because we want people with 2 feet on the ground and act normal. But I think this is special, but we don't have to treat him specially. And he also must keep it. He must deliver with saying those words about what you want to reach. But I think it's normal in growing as a player that in those matches it's difficult to deliver. But I think then again, looking at where he is playing his first Hoofdklasse season, that's quite promising, to be absolutely modest about it.
absolutely. So yes, when do you drop a talent in the main squad, in the men's team, whether it's at the club level or at the international level? Obviously they're different, but when do you make the choice to drop a talent in the top squad and give him this time, and why?
What do you, sorry, to just to understand, what do you mean with drop?
To drop him, give him his chance. No, in the team.
Give him a chance.
When you put him in the team, when you give him a chance.
Good question. I think, it starts with training normally. But look, for him, this season he was training with the under-21s and he asked Delmay, just outright, can I have a chance with the senior squad? And I think, he stands for something. So that's really good. Mm-hmm. And then I think he just kept performing in the Hoofdklasse, and that was a good base to give him a chance in that level in the Pro League. What you see is that at the European Championships with the under-21s, he was starting to grow during the tournament, scored an incredible goal in the final. And that's, I think, that gave him the confidence of growing more. And that's also when he decided actually to make a step to Kampong, because that wasn't decided yet before that. Mm-hmm. And so that confidence of him made him grow. And I think if you perform in the hoofdklasse on that level, then yeah, of course you need a chance at a certain stage. And I think one season is quite consistent, maybe not in all the top matches, but then you give them a chance, because you see over a longer period in trainings, in matches in the hoofdklasse that he delivers. Well, if that longer period gives you the confidence to be able to play him, then you should play him.
Yeah.
I think that's that simple. Mm-hmm. It's not a one-day fly.
Not true. Jeroen, when do you drop a talent in the squad and why? What are criteria for that?
Oh, when it's a healthy balance between he's able to perform technically on the field and physically as well. If it's you can talk about internationally going from for us then young red lines to red lines, but also inside the club, we give them lots of training possibilities already from a pretty young age. But they need to be physically also ready to perform. And I think that's also a massive bridge that we're trying to gap with our young red lines, for example, is to make them be able to perform at the highest level consistently, one, but also multiple games in a row. And that takes time. And I think that's always a bit of a parameter that we're looking at. Because indeed, like Jesse said, it's you can perform for one game, but can you do it in a regular time? Can you do it in a regular time in a very short space of time? Because we play tournaments in a week or in 10-12 days. So that's a big difference between being for us a junior player, if it's at club level, but especially at the national team.
Mm-hmm. Rein, a little bit of a variation on the same question for you. When do you take one of the under 18 players in your team at under 21 level? What are the criteria there? And is there a different criteria set when you say to André Henning, now you got to take my under 21 player and push him in the men's team?
I wish it would be that easy that you would just say André, you have to player. Yes, of course, the criteria are a little bit different because the things that we're trying to achieve and that we're trying to develop at the certain ages differ. I think the physical aspect is definitely one of them, being able to withstand the program of an older age group, but also being able to add some value to the team above. I think what happens if you push players too early is that you always have a chance of pushing other players out and getting high expectations on them. I think talent development has to be tailor-made. So for some players, it's better to play the under 18 European Championships. But there's also players where we say it's better to bring them up as quickly as possible because physically there won't be any challenge. Because you always want to have them on an edge where they have to perform to their limits without getting lazy or without doing the small things. So it's definitely a different thing, and I think the consistency point that's being made by both you and Jesse is very important for the next step. I think there's definitely different parameters that we look at if we take a kid from the under 18s to come up to under 21s, and it has to be tailor made.
For me also looking maybe to under 18s and under 21s is, and also for example now towards Junior World Cup as well, we have some younger boys that could still play under 18s, but we really looking for unique selling points as well. What is their USP? What are they bringing to the table? And then the next step is, okay, they can now show it. Can they show it consistently? And then that's the next phase. But I think especially in that age category, and why would you push somebody early forward is, how do you challenge a person like that? What is their unique selling points? And is that unique selling point something that can also help a group, but also help the player to be outstanding, to be very confident and to be understanding that. And that's what I really love from Mark Lammers, for example, is to be to try to make that 7 or 8 into an 8 or a 9. understanding what their USP are or is. And I think that's an important one as well for us to look at, when are we moving players earlier towards a certain age category.
Yeah, what we do is often also now with Telkamp, the most probably will play the World Cup if all is normal as it is. But I think the Dutch approach is also that we find it very important to make those very talented kids also leaders of their teams. So don't push them through too much, because then they will just, you know, they will go through trainings with the rest. They don't have to develop their leadership. And I think what we find more important now is that those talents have to play with their age group as well in tournaments, to make sure that they lead those groups as well. They can perform consistently without just having to follow other players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, but I don't think every player has that in him. So I think there's also going to be high or big talents, guys with something very special that maybe don't have that leadership capacities, qualities, ambitions, and then it's something that you have to take into account. So I agree with you in what you say, and I get that. I don't know if Arno van Dessel, for example, will come back to play the Junior World Cup.
Yeah, but leading is not only in word, but it's also in how you perform in a group. It's not about talking to everyone and saying we need to do this, but it's also, are you able to perform under pressure with your specific talent? You don't have to say anything, but can you deliver?
Yeah.
And so, and I also agree with you, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Do you think that the under 21 coach should always be a member of the coaching staff of the men's team? To have this.
I'm not a rules guy.
So, no, okay, but do you think it makes sense? let's say, do you think it
we
makes sense?
We can talk about everything, eh? We can talk about everything and anything. But, yeah. Well, I think what is nice, and we also do it with the club, Pinoquet, but we also have it with our federation, is that there have been some trainings that I joined the national team, not so much this year, but and we have the assistant coach for the national team just goes through the under-18s and under-21s to talk about and train specific themes. So it definitely helps, because of course we're trying to bring the youth towards the senior teams, so it's good for them to know what's actually happening there. What is it physically? What does it mean mentally? What does it mean on the training field? How do you behave? So it really helps. But yeah, should be a member. I think life is not that black and white.
No, agreed. That was the wrong way to ask this question. But you know what I mean. Rein, same question. Do you think there's an added value to have an under 21 coach in the staff of the men, or maybe vice versa, have the assistant coach of the men be a member of the coaching staff in the under 21?
Oh, there's definitely added value for both things, and there's also things to say for not doing that. I think the most important part is the transfer of information, transfer of knowledge, and preparing for the things that are up next. I've had a couple of camps that I was able to join the men's team. We have a good communication on what is needed and what is worked on. I think it differs from system to system. So I agree with Jesse, it's not that black and white, mm-hmm. But it definitely adds value if there's a certain consistent line going through the entire system.
Yeah, Jeroen, you have a very specific, very very different head coach at the men's team than a normal coach. Let's say it like this: Michel van Heuvel is a particular guy. Do you think there will be added value for you to being on his staff, or one of the assistants be a member of your staff?
Particular guy, that's your words about Michel, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. My words.
No, I think Michel has for sure his qualities. but is also with moments somebody that really protects his group. He has done it in the past as well, and it has his advantages. I would love to be a bit more involved for sure with the seniors, because I think I have added value, but I also want to learn and I want to look and I want to see. And we are in contact, so hopefully that will come in the next few years. And I agree with both of my colleagues, is that there's advantages and disadvantages, and I think they should not be black or white. But I think it's always good to have a rode draad, a red thread through your program, and it's not only seniors under 21s, but it's also under 21s, under 18s, and younger. And I'm jealous in one way with the role of Rijn, because I think it's something that I would also love to do maybe somewhere in the future. I really love my role at club at Oranje Rood, but to be able to just focus on a team and on a certain line and focus on certain processes, I think is something very very interesting to do as well. And that's also, again, it's something maybe that we can discuss as well. We, speaking myself, and yes, we do it a bit different than they're doing in Germany or in England. So I think they're both...
You mean that in your case and in Jesse's case, you're combining your job as an under 21 coach with a club coach job?
Yes.
And Rijn can focus on his job as under 21s and the boys line in Germany, more or less, Rijn, yeah. Probably, yeah. And in England, that will be more or less the same as well. Then.
John, I was wondering, in what regard are Rijn and Jeroen free to choose technically what you want to do with the group and how you want to build them?
Rijn?
Rijn.
Yeah.
Or does André tell you what to do?
No. We're very free. We are 100% free on the way we want to play. Yes, there's one or two principles that André likes, or Jami likes, or Pasha likes, that we have chats about. But it's mainly transferred through the players. We're like, well, at club we play this, we play with the men's team, how about we try this or that? I think our main focus is just developing the players, and the more we all play the same, we might prepare them for what happens next year, but we want to prepare our players for what happens in 4 to 6 years, and they need to be flexible. So we have a high regard for flexibility in all of our teams, with all of our coaches. Because we also think that having the best coaches work with the best players means that you need to have give your coaches the freedom to do so. And that just makes that we have a different approach to the way we develop our players, but also the way we run our program, I think, compared to the way I perceive the Dutch and the Belgians, where it's way more structure to be perceived in certain ways. But yeah, we're totally, relatively free on everything. It's mainly the load management and preparing for the next step that we're trying to align as much as possible. So,
Jeroen, same question for you.
Yeah, I'm also free. I think with all the coaches that I've worked with, or when I was working with the 21s. With different senior coaches, so I worked underneath Del, then Shane, and now of course Michel. It's never been dictated. It's always been very free, and of course there's connection and there's talks about principles. I think there's a very clear DNA in our Belgian way, like in Germany has as well, and I think like Holland and England as well. And of course, I'm not going to change too much that DNA, but with moments, I also try to step away from the comfort zone. But I'm free, you know, to answer the question from this. I'm free to decide how I do it, and the way I do it. But of course, if Adam or Michel see strange things happening, then of course they will ask me the question. But I want to think that I'm always doing things with a certain idea and plan. So, Are you free? Yes, so that's maybe a good question.
Yeah, no, I am. But of course, I'd like to talk to Jeroen every now and then about players or about certain tactics or systems, because he has a lot of knowledge. So it's always good to get to know how he thinks about things. But it's also from the setup and the technical director. It's not you have to do this and this, or you have to play this and this, but... Yeah, obviously, there's under 21 players, so you want to develop them playing zonal, you want to develop them playing man markings, all those things you want to touch. But I'm free to choose what I do and how I train it and how I do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guys, let's maybe also return to our topic of the European Championships here. We're approaching the medal games now. Rein, a question for you, but for the two others as well, but starting with Rein. What tactics should coaches be looking for when they are going to watch the next semi-finals?
I think it's different. The different storylines and the different ways of playing that are very interesting. The way the Dutch have played more man-to-man the last year, like under Jeroen, how the Belgians play a zonal system consistently, but now seem to also get back to their more way of the way that they reined the game in Tokyo a little bit more. And then I think with the Germans, it's interesting how they are able to not be fully informed with the ball, yet still come in first place in the group through a strong zonal defensive system, deep in their on their own half. And then with the storyline from the quarterfinals at the World Cup, I think the English will be highly motivated. I think that's going to be more interesting than any tactics, the way games are being managed in general and how emotions are being controlled, how one-on-ones are being played. I like the smaller things in the game a little bit more based on those storylines. And it's going to be interesting to see how the English who've been very impressive, to me at least, the last 8 months, how they will try and get through this German wall that they seem to build up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jeroen, if you're talking to a couple of Belgium coaches, and what would be your advice? What are you going to look for when you're watching the semifinals?
If I'm speaking to Belgium coaches, probably I'll speak about the defensive structure that we play in. Are we playing zone, man on man? Where do we want to win balls, etc.? But for myself, and maybe for the neutral spectator, I love an interesting part of the verticality and the speed of play, the way that Holland and England are doing in the last years or last 8 months, like Ren was saying, is super interesting. But I'm born and raised in the Belgium system, and I love a lot of the German control and German style. And I'm really keen and curious to see if the Germans don't score easy goals in the start of the game, how they will manage to cope with that verticality, and also with them still creating their own chances to be dangerous and get on the scoreboard. Because of course, I think Holland didn't start that well against them. Gave him a bit of a good lead to zero after 5-6 minutes, and then of course Germany goes and hangs and plays and are in their sofas. Having a very good defensive discipline. And I didn't see, he speaks about circle penetration for Holland, but really outstanding chances. They weren't that many. But if they don't score very quickly, Germany, then they will probably also struggle with the physicality and the energy that the English will bring in their game. So for me, the verticality and the quick retakes and stuff is super interesting for myself as well to learn from and to be busy with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. If you're talking to a group of Dutch coaches, what are you going to tell them? What are you have to look for in the semifinals?
Well, first I mentioned Jeroen, because the Germans in the World Cup. Remember the last couple of minutes for about all the games. So we'll see.
Yeah.
So it's more on the beginning. But no, yeah, I think. Sorry, defensively, what we need to look for?
Is that no, in whatever. Okay. You have a group of coaches. What do you look for?
I told my under-21 boys when we started the preparation towards the World Cup this summer is that the last big tournaments in the world stage, World Cups and Olympic Games, the teams that win play zonal. And I think that's an interesting fact. And I think it's also quite interesting that the Dutch play man-marking, that the English play man-marking, but I think zonal is such an interesting system if you can get it right. And I think what the Germans do, I love their technical finds for higher in the field, lower in the field, doesn't matter. They just know each other what to do. And as Jeroen said, it's very difficult to get good chances, especially when a goal with a goalkeeper who's that young and that good already. And I think that is great to watch. But what we didn't mention yet is that Herzbruch is fit and looks to become really on form. So this is a player that is mouth-watering as well. Jeroen said, I don't know if it was Rijn, that Wallace has been improving. But how many times did we see Herzbruch on this stage fit and on form? And I think that is such a beautiful player. So I'm really going to watch him play in the semi-final.
Yes, so sticking with you now, what does your country, the Netherlands, need to do better to win gold on Sunday?
I still think, and I think that's also what Jeroen is looking for, is how can they be a little bit more creative or play more dominant with the ball going forward. I think what they showed at the World Cup, the speed and the power that they could develop in certain games, was just outstanding. I think Rijn and me were watching it in the stadium, and it was really, they were going from 23 into the circle, opponent circle. I think it was 7 seconds with passing and running. And I think that is something that is difficult for them to find at the moment. And I hope that they can find that back, because I love seeing that speed and power that they actually produced during the World Cup, and hope to see that they can do it this weekend as well.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question about that?
Yes, of course.
How do you feel this happened? Because at the World Cup, the Dutch were playing like it was a different kind of speed, is what I said, compared to all the other countries.
Yeah.
And now strategically, it's all the same, but they don't work as fast, as quick anymore.
Yeah, so it's difficult for me to say, because I haven't been with them with the Pro League or on trainings. But for me, it feels a little bit like, well, Wales, they played quite well, but that is maybe not the opponent you're looking for. It feels like it's not as fresh. So I think the players have had a long season. Long playoffs, long Pro League, and then not. And they also need to get some time off hockey, and then starting to prepare for the European Cup. Maybe not as much time as you actually want. So I think for me it looks a little bit like they miss their explosiveness that they had. So I think that's maybe more rest and better training towards a tournament like this. But then again, it also looks like they are growing into the tournament with that game against Wales after Germany. And Germany, of course, they talked with a lot of confidence after that game, and they said it was an incident. Maybe it was. But also, yeah, we saw Germany being very dangerous on their counterattack. Maybe not as dangerous the Dutch that as they could have been. But maybe they will grow into it. And tomorrow against Belgium, they show their power. It could be.
Mm-hmm. Jeroen, what does Belgium need to do better to win gold?
Maybe just to come back on what Rijn was asking, I think also, of course, for the World Cup, it was pretty brand new. And now, of course, teams have looked at it more, have more footage. I think at the Pro League, the Dutch were still at a pretty fair level. That's also, I think, why they won it at the end, especially looking at those games against Belgium at the end. Belgium wasn't looking very fresh, but the Dutch really killed them in their drive there. I think it also has to do with maybe analyses from the opponent and having maybe better plan towards what was coming at them at this time. So I think that's maybe also one of the reasons. Talking about the Belgians, for me, Belgium is really good when they control a play. That means when they understand and when they have the qualities to speed up when they need to speed up and to control and get the ball on the attacking half of the opposition at the right moments. That's one. And two, defensive discipline. I think having the defensive discipline that they need with the qualities of the players that they have on the field, that will make or break their success the next few days. I think they've showed already that they have a different level and are in different shape than they were in the Pro League. The team is getting ready to perform, and they've been really good in the last few years, peaking at the right level at the right time, a bit German wise. And I think they can show it now to that they can redo it again with maybe a couple of new youngsters that can have a different impact on the game as well.
Just a short intermezzo, Barry Middleton has arrived in the clubhouse, is setting up.
Barry!
Should be joining us in just a couple of minutes, for the last couple of minutes as well. Because, yeah, obviously the other ones have to go and do their things now. But, Rein, same question for you. What does Germany have to do better than they did until now to win gold?
I think take care of the ball on the opponent half a little bit more. Where they're usually very good at controlling the game on the opponent's half, like putting them back in their own circle. They seem to have lost a lot of balls with a couple of players not having been in their A form yet. Defensively, they're very good. Just the attacking part, I think they can do a little bit better. It's okay. Very easy.
It's not that complicated.
I think what is interesting with the Germans is also that if you saw the Pro League game against Holland in the Wagner Stadium in July, that the score was quite in favor of the Dutch. But if you look at the Germans not playing well, but out of defense, becoming so dangerous still to be able to equalize the game or creating chances to win it, which didn't happen, I think that is something really nice to see. It's actually a little bit what the Dutch did against the Belgians in the second game of the Pro League, where the Belgians statistically were all over the Dutch. But the Dutch just scored out of not so many chances. Mm-hmm. And that's also something that gives you, and I think that is interesting, now Barry comes, because I think the English now found a way how to win fighting. And now this gives them, I think, some new depth into what they can do, because at the World Cup they played really well, but didn't quite get there yet. But maybe with this win against the Spanish, gives them something extra.
Yeah. But I think they need to be able to do that against the next top. So I think Spain is now where England maybe was at the World Cup. And now England needs to be able to do it against Holland or Germany or Belgium or and at a different world stage, Australia. And they haven't done that yet. And I think that's the next step that they need to go through. And they have the age for it. Yes, Wallace is young. They have a couple of younger boys. But in general, they have the age now to really consolidate and perform. And I love how Rivington has done it in the last few months at the Pro League, getting them to a certain, maybe also vibe and believe in what they can do. But then they also need to be cleaning up their defensive ethic or the defensive work, because the quarter that they played, the third quarter they played against Belgium, yes, Van Nobel was phenomenal, but you can't concede three goals in 5 minutes. We say that to the Dutch, but we need to say that to them as well. And I think that's an important one for them to learn. And if they can manage that, and I think tomorrow will be a massive test for them, then they will be successful in the next few days, but also I think months and maybe year.
Okay, while we're waiting for Barry to try and get connected here. Here he comes. Let's bring Barry on. There we go, Barry. You are live in the show, eh?
Barry.
Yes.
Well, welcome and congratulations with London Traffic, beating London Traffic. It's always a challenge there, I think. Eh?
if you want to get on the M25 and know what it's like.
Absolutely. No problem. We're happy that you've made it so far here. We've discussed everything. So everything's been said. Everything's been England has been completely dissected, and we know how they're going to beat England now. So, but let me have your fellow coaches each ask you a question to get your say in here as well. So, Jesse, what's your question for Barry?
Well, I was just wondering, because we played with under-21s, we played against Barry in Holland two games with the English under-21. But I was wondering, how do you look at the setup not making the World Cup? And then obviously your program of development becomes different. How did you approach that?
Yes, it also becomes different from after last summer. So at the moment, we've taken a bit of an approach where we look forward to the Europeans next summer. So I think this year we've just been in Germany as well and played a little Four Nations tournament there, where I think four of our guys will be finishing this year. So most of our team stays together. Because it changes a little on what we can do in terms of outcome focus and looking at games in the World Cup, and definitely more towards technical skills and not too much tactical over this year.
Mm-hmm. Rein, what's your question for Barry?
I'm very interested in how the cultural change of the men's staff going through a mainly South African staff is influencing your program with the under-21s and how you're being set up in the youth?
So the actual setup doesn't change too much. I think we have a really good relationship with the coaches from the seniors to the junior group, along with Paul obviously coming in, Craig, but then the manager, Gamo, Kwan, Zach have all sort of been through the EDP with us as well. So the actual relationship is really good, and the integration from juniors into the seniors in terms of actually playing style and what we do, it's more discussions and talking about things, not necessarily direct to that. You have to play a certain style. But one of the good things for our juniors at the moment is seeing the senior team being quite exciting and something to look forward to. So there's definitely that side for them as well. And seeing, kind of trying to think of the exact numbers, but the team that's in the Europeans now have all played with a lot of the young guys who are in the 21s.
Mm-hmm. Jeroen, your question for Barry.
I'm just curious to see what your guess or your findings are from the senior team right now at the Euros. So how are they performing, and what do you reckon indeed they need to do now to make the next step and win prizes?
I think I've seen. Well, we went and watched the Belgium England game, which was interesting, and I watched the Spain game yesterday. I think I watched it through my fingers mainly. We've been pretty nervous, so not with too much of a tactical side on it. But it was, definitely the last year to 18 months, or even longer potentially. The biggest change probably from our senior team is just been much, much more direct, much more aggressive on the front foot, I would say, and that kind of style. And definitely something we look at with the juniors now. My view with the senior team is they're close. They're very close to something. They have a lot of talent, but they're a bit. They need a spark. They need a moment, probably like all teams do, to get that belief to really jump again. And we know that's hard in the European. You look at the semi-finals now. We know how close all those four teams are, plus Spain as well. I think they're waiting for that little sort of like the crutch paper or whatever you say, to kind of believe in what they're doing. But I definitely, I like the way they're playing. I like the attitude they have. I'm trying to go toe to toe with the teams that have been the top three or four for the last few years. And obviously for us, the other part is being England through this spell and then adding a few players in when we go to GB next year as well.
Yeah. Okay, Barry, it's only fair, and I give you the opportunity to ask them a question as well. So pick one of the coaches and ask him the question that you want.
That's probably similar for all of you. But probably Jesper. And just looking at, I think for me, looking from an England side, and one of the big differences, what's the connection between club hockey and international hockey in Holland, and how does that work for the junior players and their development?
You want to know what the program is, or how we run it?
Yeah, probably a bit on. Obviously, I was there. I was in Holland years ago, and it's probably very different now. But just how much contact time you guys get with the players, or is it the clubs develop the players a lot? Where do they get their talents along with? Where do they get their development?
Obviously, Holland is a small country, so in terms of distances to train together with teams is quite easy to do. So with all the under 18s, under 16s, under 15s, even and under 21s, they have certain periods where they train together. The older they get, the more you train. So what we do with under 21s in season, we train on Monday, we do gym, and on Monday afternoon we do technical trainings, and then Tuesday we train once or double depending on the club program. But that's something we do during the season, of course, when there's playoffs, they go to the clubs, the players that play the playoffs. And what I also like to see is at the end of the season, the teams that didn't make the playoffs, or the players that didn't make the playoffs, the senior players and the under 21 players, they train together for 1 or 2 weeks. So that's where they really intertwine and see from each other what level they are on and how they are in the gym and what they do to get to that level, what's needed to get to that level. I think the program is quite professional, becoming more professional as we go. That's what it looks like during the weeks.
Okay, guys, we're reaching the hour mark. We're very happy that you made it anyway here, Barry. But mindful of the calendars, the agendas of the others one here as well. One final question for each one of you, and yes, let's start with you because you're on the big screen right now. But short answers. What do you want to accomplish, or when do you have a successful year with your under 21s this year?
When we maximize the performance, but more importantly, when we have players after the World Cup that can join the senior team.
Mm-hmm. Barry, same question for you. When is it a success for you this year?
It's the same answer as Jesse, but 6 months behind. So more, for us is an improvement on the last Europeans. And then from next summer, hopefully having some players that then can start to step into the senior team.
Mm-hmm. Jeroen, when is it the success for you?
Exactly the same answer as Jesse, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Rein, give me a different answer. You are the biggest favorite for the Junior World Cup. Every coach tells me.
I think that Jesse's team is still a little bit in front of us.
You played 21 practice matches before the World Cup. You're going to Malaysia. Before it already. You've got a head start, man.
I think the answer of yes is definitely applies to us as well. But we don't want to hide from it. Like, we want to learn to perform at the most important moment. So that means that we're definitely going to try and win the World Cup. Yeah. But in the meantime, hitting the targets and playing well are the most important things, and that might lead us to getting there.
Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you very much for joining us for this panel talk. We talked about the European Cup, and we talked about your under 21 teams, and I hope that it was a very informative talk for the coaches here. You had enough coaches questions here, so that we didn't need any questions from the audience here. But I love the talk, and I want to leave you there because you are very busy agendas and very busy calendars. Barry's about to go training. Jeroen has to drive home. Yes, and
Barry needs a faster car.
Yeah, or maybe a helicopter. Maybe we should ask the GB for a helicopter.
That would be nice.
I can imagine. Guys, thank you very much for joining us here and sharing the knowledge with us. It was fun having you here. And Barry, next time, promise you can be a little bit longer here.
Thanks. Good to see
Bye,
you.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.